Well, good morning and happy Sabbath to each of you again today. I'd like you, if you would, let's bow our heads together as we have our prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word, and we pray that through the word that we will find encouragement and a source of hope in the time in which we live. Now, Lord, I pray that you will bless the words that I speak, and may the hearers be blessed from the words that are spoken here today. And again, may we leave this congregation today knowing that we have been in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to spend some time looking at the temptation of Christ when he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. Now, as we enter into the temptation, there's, we know, three temptations. And so we're going to take time to look at each temptation, I believe, systematically. And we're going to discover, I believe, how it's what Christ experienced, how through Christ's experience we can find the help and the hope that we need for our time in which we live today as well. So with Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." My sermon title today is "If." You know, the old devil is always challenging the authority of God and our relationship with him. If we go back to the Garden of Eden experience and we look at Adam and Eve, the devil came to Adam and Eve, spoke to Eve from the tree, and said, "Did God really say?" You know, the devil's always trying to get us to question the validity and the authority of God. God told Adam and Eve, he said, "Hey, every tree I have given you, but of this one tree you shall not eat. For the day that you do eat of it," as you remember, what does it say? "You will die, you will perish." So as the chapter goes on, Eve was walking alone in the garden, and she comes upon this tree, and it's as if the serpent knew her thoughts, said, "Did God really say?" You know, the first thing the devil comes to do to us when we are tempted is to challenge our faith, to question our faith. And aren't people doing that many times throughout the world and in our country, and especially in our personal lives as we interact with people? They're always challenging our faith, you know. Is there really a God? Did God create? Is God real? And so forth. Well, the devil comes to Christ and he says, "If you are the Son of God," the first thing he does to Christ himself is to challenge the authority of Christ and his sonship and his relationship to the Father of heaven. Are you really the Son of God? Now, the devil is tempting Christ here to doubt that validity. Now, if we remember our scripture reading that we just read, Mark chapter 1, 9 through 11, God said, the Father in heaven said, when Jesus was baptized, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then not long after that, Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted, led by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, when he went into the wilderness of temptation, he had that tone ringing in his ears, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus put his faith and his confidence and his hope in the Word of God, what God said to him there at his baptism. And so the devil comes to Jesus and said, "If you really are the Son of God, and if you are the Son of God, then you must have power. And if you have power, then you can turn these stones into bread. So if you really are him, then why don't you turn these stones? Show me, give me proof that you are the Son of God." Well, you see, Jesus didn't need to prove anything because he is the Son of God. After all, the Father told him at the baptism, "You are my Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus did not have to doubt the authority of God the Father, and there he did not have to prove himself to the tempter. You see, friends, when we enter into temptation, many times we are wavering. Should I or shouldn't I? Boy, it seems kind of good. Maybe I shouldn't, or so forth. Friends, we cannot enter into a dialogue with the devil, because every time you enter into a dialogue with the enemy, you will lose. Amen? I mean, the only one that can really argue with the devil is God himself. So let's remember this. Do not dialogue with the devil. when he comes, you turn your back on him. Well, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus met the temptation where Adam failed. You see, it was in the Garden of Eden where upon appetite we landed into this mess in the first place. And so thus Jesus, when he entered into the wilderness, he met that same temptation so that you and I can be victorious over the appetite. Amen? So when Jesus came, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He was showing us our dependence upon the God the Father, upon the Godhead, showing us that our dependency is not on what we can do for ourselves, but our dependency is upon what God can provide for us. And friends, do I dare say today that the God of this world, as the Bible tells us, the devil, has also included in our temptation, in our lives of struggle, the God of appetite, the God of the belly. In other words, the lower reasoning, not just what we eat, but the lower reasoning, the passions and the desires have ruled and swayed men over the centuries. And look what's happened to us today. We have, I was just listening to the radio yesterday morning, and the radio was telling us, you know, all the bad things. You know, somebody shot this person over here. This guy escaped from jail. This guy, you know, did this. This man went and beat his wife and all these bad things. And it just was over and over and repetitive. And I believe that the devil likes those things to be repeated to us so we can become discouraged. Well, anyways, that's another sermon, another time. But the point is, men and women have followed their base passions and appetites over the years, and they've become so debased that people are even willing to kill their own family members. Friends, we cannot be controlled by our appetites. We must be controlled by the reason based on the Word of God. Can you say amen? Well, Jesus met the temptation of appetite, and thus too showing to us that we need to overcome the temptation of appetite. In Isaiah chapter 33, I'd like you to turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 33, and we'll look at verse 16. Isaiah 33 and verse 16. The Bible says, he shall dwell in his high places of defense, shall be the mountains of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. You see, friends, we have a promise right here that we can depend upon God. We don't need to do anything on our behalf. God will take care of us. In other words, we don't need to prove anything to the devil because God will take care of us. Amen? Isn't that like the devil? You know, if God loves you so much, then why is all these bad things happening to you? We don't need to enter into that kind of conversation with the enemy. We can trust in God. He says, your bread and water will be sure. Thus, we know that God will take care of us. We don't need to prove anything to the devil. Amen? Also, in Psalms 81, verse 10, you can write this down. But the Bible says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You get the picture and the sense of a little bird opening his mouth wide as the mother brings the little worm and drops it in the mouth. God says, open your mouth and I will put food in it for you. I will fill it. So in other words, we have the blessed hope and the promise and the assurance that our bread and our water will be sure that we can trust in God. After all, we are called children of God. How many of you care for your children here today? If you care for your children, so God must care for us even more so. God will take care of us. So with that temptation, Christ overcame with the Word of God. Amen? I mean, that's the only way that we can overcome the enemy is with the Word of God. And when the devil challenged Christ, Christ beat him at his own game. He used the Word of God. He didn't have to prove anything, thus standing up for principle and what the Word says. It is written. Never should we question God's love and care for us. The moment we do that is when we begin to doubt God's care. And when we do that, friends, it leads us to sin and temptation. Verse 5 of Matthew chapter 4, the devil taketh him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if you are, there's the if again, if you really are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Now, I like this because now this challenge is interesting to me. I like this formula here that we see. Christ starts out with challenging the devil with the Word of God. In other words, he defeats the devil with the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so the devil almost, he's heightened with an energy. He's saying, well, if the Son of God or Jesus is going to use the word of God, then why not I use the word of God? And so he comes and he only repeats half the text, but he says, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. You know, the rest of the world, aren't we fighting many times across our parking lots and across our boards and with our neighbors? The word says this, the word says that, the word says this. Friends, we must stand on the word of God, but we must dig for that truth. Amen? We must search for that truth. We must not presume on something that we have believed or that we have accepted in our lives. We must find a biblical basis for our doctrines and our teachings and our faith. Can you say amen? And so the devil will throw disturbing verses at us to challenge our faith. Well, it says this over here, but it says that over there. Friends, we must study all of Scripture. Amen? And so God, Jesus, stands there again before the enemy. And the enemy stands here, and you can see the opposing forces that play here. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written again. He tells him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Hey, if you are the Son of God, why don't you prove yourself? Because if you are his son, he's not going to let you hit the ground. We call that presumption. And sometimes, many of us, we do that in our lives today, in our faith. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and do this little sin over here because God will forgive me. That's presumption. Presumption gets us into a lot of trouble. And it's gotten a lot of people into trouble. We presume that God will do something if we do this. But we can never presume upon God's grace and mercies. What do you say? You know, he says, thou shalt not sin. You know, we don't do it. You know, keep the commandments and so forth. We don't presume upon them that God will forgive us. I can go ahead and sin and then God will forgive us or forgive me. We must act upon the principle of God's word. He says, thou shalt not. And thus we ever struggle with the wrestle of sin and temptation by standing on the word of God saying, I will not, as Joseph said, how can I sin against God? You see, friends, he didn't presume. He didn't say, well, I can give in to this one temptation here because I know God will forgive me later. Friends, we have to be careful. Many of us have succumbed to that, and that's happened to, I should say, myself at times, and I'm sure you've done it in your Christian experience, maybe once or twice, hopefully never, but you're presumed upon God's mercy. You know, I'll go ahead and do this and then God will forgive me. Friends, we can never do that because the more we give in and solicit sin, the harder it will be for us to overcome. We always must stand on the Word of God. We can never presume upon God's mercies. And the moment that we presume upon God's mercy is the moment that we lose our faith in Him. Faith is overcoming. Faith is not proving to the world that God will take care of me when I sin, but faith is showing the world that I can overcome sin and temptation through the mighty power of God. Amen? He goes on to say here, and the battle continues on. In verse 8, again the devil takes him up into a high exceeding mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, I don't know how he does this, but he takes him up on the top of the mountain and seems to be in a panoramic view. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Maybe he looks over the mountaintops. Maybe he gives him a panoramic view and shows the splendor and the glory of each city, whatever the case. He says, all these things I will give to you. And here's the question again. If you will bow down and worship me. You know, question what you're doing. Is this really necessary? Did you really come here to die on a cross? Did you really come here to save this world? After all, I own the world. Forget the cross. Worship me and I'll give you the world. Isn't that what the devil does to us today? You know, why struggle? Why, you know, all the hardship? Why struggle with that? You know, I can give you what you want today. The devil goes on to challenge the authority of Christ, if. Every time we enter into that confrontation, we must stand on the Word of God. And we must go to God. We must go to Jesus for our victory. And when he took him upon the mountaintop, and he showed him all that glory, he says, if you will fall down and worship me, I will give you all this. You see, friends, the devil is still doing that today. He's telling us, hey, why don't we try to keep up with your Joneses, try to keep up with the Smiths, you know, your boats and your houses. Well, those are material things. Maybe it's our looks, maybe it's our appearances, maybe the things that we have in our garage and our house, or the monies that we have in our bank accounts, or whatever it is. The devil is always trying to feed us stuff, things of this world. God says that we are not of this world. The meek shall inherit the earth. After all, if we're going to inherit the earth, why do I want this earth now? I want the earth made new. Amen? But the devil has always challenged us. Get it now. It's a give me society. We don't need God. I can get what I need right now. He's always trying to feed us with things and stuff. And God showed to us, Jesus showed to us, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, the Bible says you can't serve mammon and God at the same time. You know, you have to choose one or the other. In other words, when we serve the world, when we strive to be successful in this world, what God are we serving? We're serving the devil, the enemy. But when we serve God, you see, we lose everything. It's filled with, you know, opposites in the Bible. You know, he that loses his life will gain it, you know, and so forth. He that is poor is rich, and so on. You see, God's Word is the source of hope and encouragement for you and I today, that when we put our faith in God and when we put our hope in Him, as Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 says, the meek shall inherit the earth. You see, friends, we're not looking for worldly prosperity now. We're looking for the worldly prosperity, whatever the word is I'm looking for, the riches of heaven when Jesus comes again. We're not looking for worldly riches now, because when Jesus comes again, friends, we will have everything to our heart's content. Can you say amen to that? Now, it won't be so much as the houses in heaven and the streets of gold, but friends, can you imagine for a moment? It'll be because we're in the very presence of God. The very presence of Christ. I will give you everything if you bow down and worship me. But isn't that what's happened to our culture today? We have a system, a materialistic system today, where people are losing their lives because of things, because of stuff. People are losing their lives because of appetite, debased appetites, letting their appetites rise above reason, you know, through sexual immorality, impurities, putting things in our bodies that aren't healthful for us, and causing us to, you know, get sick and so forth. Losing faith and trust in God, not depending on Him, that God will continue to take care of us. People are losing their lives because they're presuming upon God's mercies. Well, not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week or next year. When I see the signs come, then I will make a motion. Then I will make some movement in my life. And many people yet are still losing their lives because of material things. Because of the pride of life and the possessions of life, people are losing their eternal existence. Well, Jesus, who was God in the flesh, came to this world to show us how we can be victorious in this world. It is written, amen? We must stand upon the Word of God. Friends, if you're a Christian today, then you must be reading your Word. You must be reading your Bible. You must be sharpening your sword, amen? The Word of God is powerful. And so thus, with the Word of God, you and I can overcome our greatest enemy. After all, in 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible tells us the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, friends, we don't enter into the conflict with him. We keep our focus on Christ. We keep our focus on God. We don't question God's love for us. We don't question our integrity in Christ. Turn with me, if you will, in Romans chapter 8, in verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. You see, friends, this is our hope today. This is our encouragement. This is our strength. This is our victory as we walk in this world of darkness. Romans chapter 8. And turn with me, if you will, to verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. God is our Father. And if God is our Father, He will supply our needs. Can you say amen? We have no reason to be overcome with appetite. Why? Because God will feed us. And after all, He will satisfy the longings of the hearts and the desires of the heart. We don't need to let base passions rule over the integrity of the thoughts of the mind. We are children of God, therefore we don't have to presume upon God's mercy. We know that He will take care of us, amen? We know that God will help us overcome. We know that God will help us to be victorious in this life. We don't have to prove anything to anybody in this world. Why? Because we are God's children, and God takes pride in His children, amen? And finally, we don't need the things of this world, because when we have God, when we have Christ dwelling in the heart through the Holy Spirit, friends, we are filled in our cup. What? It overfloweth. And when our cup overfloweth, is there any need or want for this, the things of this world? After all, that's what the 23rd Psalm is all about. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? I shall not want. It used to bother me as a kid because I couldn't understand that. I'd read that and I'd say, if the Lord is my shepherd, I don't want Him? That's not what it's talking about. You know, I used to get that confused. If the Lord is my shepherd, I don't want Him? Actually, I need Him. Why would it say I don't want Him? When we put it in the right context, the Lord is my shepherd. When He is our shepherd, I have no wants in this world. In other words, He satisfies every need or longing in the heart. Now, the question we may have to arise to our attention today is, why did Christ enter into this temptation anyways? After all, the Bible says the Spirit of God led Him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In other words, it was predestined that Christ should go into the wilderness. Why? So that He could help you and I overcome sin and temptation. So that He could show you and I the way of victory. So that we can come to one who knows what it's like to be tempted. Turn with me as we close in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. Actually, we're going to look at two more verses. But Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Speaking of Christ now, the Bible says, for in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor or help them that are tempted. When Christ entered into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, friends, He was tempted to such a degree that He understands, as a brethren, what it's like to be tempted by the enemy. He can sympathize with your weaknesses. He can sympathize with your struggle. He can sympathize with the temptation. And so the Bible tells us, for He suffered being tempted, He is able to help them. So the purpose for which Christ entered into the wilderness experience is so that you and I can overcome the greatest obstacles of temptation in our lives. It's not so much of the fruit that Adam and Eve ate, it was the passion and the lust to be like God that they fell into this problem. And so it is with the heart condition, friends. It's not so much the things that we see and the things that we shouldn't touch, but it's what's going on in the heart that God wants to help us to overcome. Amen? He wants us to be victorious over the fallen nature of humanity within our hearts. And we can do that through the blood of Jesus Christ. What do you say? In Hebrews chapter 4, our last verse for this morning, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Why is that such a hopeful verse for us? Because we have somebody in heaven that's representing humanity that experienced all temptation, was tempted in all points just as we are. In other words, there's not one temptation that you and I have gone through in this life that Christ has not borne before us. In other words, when we have temptation, when we have struggle, we can fall on our knees and look up into heaven and say, oh God, I need Your mercy. Oh God, I need Your help right now. And the Bible tells us that God will give us His help. Jesus understands. Friends, is it better to talk to somebody who has gone through the same experience, or is it better to talk to a counselor who's never experienced your problem before? And I find that the irony of our world today, we send people to psychiatrists and psychologists, not that they're bad, but we send people there, and these people haven't even experienced the trials. And we say, oh, I know how you feel. No, you don't. Because you've never experienced what I've experienced. But we have a God in heaven who has experienced what you and I have. Even so much more, the Bible tells us that, have you strived against blood? None of us have strived in blood. In other words, we haven't wrestled with temptation to the degree that Christ has. So with that, Christ has something, a crowning work that He can do in our lives. He's been down that road before, and He can help you. In verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Highlight that verse. Underscore that verse. Why can we come boldly? Because we have somebody that has walked before us. And He has felt the same temptations that you and I experience. And we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need. Friends, is there a temptation that you're struggling with? Is there a hardship in your life? Is your heart sinking sometimes with the weight and the burden of sin and trial? Jesus says, "Come to me. I can help you." He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Why does He say those words? Because He knows that we are so apt to struggle and to strive so desperately to overcome sin and temptation, and rightfully so. But however, Jesus will be able to help us and to give us peace and a rest to overcome sin and temptation. We can trust in God to give us victory. Can we say amen? We can trust in Jesus to help us and to walk with us while we're in this earth. God the Father told Jesus, "This, you are my Son in whom I am well pleased." And when Jesus went into the wilderness of temptation, I believe that was the crowning voice that helped Him through the temptation and the trial. If you are the Son of God. He didn't need to challenge. He didn't need to come into an argument with the devil. He was. He is the Son of God. And He went with that confidence and assurance that, "My God the Father, I am the Son." And so we have that confidence and assurance for us today, living in the year 2009, when the devil comes to us. If, will God, can God, does God care about you? You can say, as Romans 8:16, we are children of God. And friends, if we are children of God, God will take care of you, and He will take care of me. Friends, it's my desire that each of you here today, all of us here in this sanctuary, will be overcomers of sin and temptation. We can through the blood of Jesus. Amen. I invite you today to bow your heads with me and to surrender heart and mind and soul into the hands of God and allow Him to make you and to renew your mind and your heart. Let Him take the burden. Let Him take the trials. Let Him take those circumstances. Lay them at His feet today. And He says, "Hey, I have been down that road, and I can help you. Take my hands today." Let's pray. Father, which art in heaven, I thank You so much for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank You for the hope that it gives us. Thank You for the joy that it helps us to have. Thank You for the peace that it can get, secure us and give us hope. And in this hour, Lord, each one that has head bowed, I pray, Lord, that You would bless them, that You would put Your Spirit within them, that You would walk by their side, that You would give them the grace of heaven, the peace of God, and that they would find that source of hope, that joy that comes from knowing You, that Jesus, You will enter into their lives. You will walk with them. You will abide with them. You will keep them safe. Most of all, Lord, You will forgive them of sin. And so today, Jesus, we thank You that You went into the wilderness of temptation, and You were subject to the same passions, the same temptations. And therefore, Lord Jesus, You can help us in our struggles, in our trials. And when we are burdened and overcome with sin, we can run to Your throne of grace, and there we will find mercy to help us. So we thank You, Jesus, for giving us Your life in exchange for the penalty. Thank You for taking the penalty upon Yourself so that You can give us eternal life. May we bear the hope and joy now that comes from knowing You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.